Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Saturday afternoon to you all, and welcome to our second broadcast of 5 Minutes at the Frat House here on Fan Junkies Radio. I am your Saturday afternoon host. This is Frat House Mike. And let me just start it off by thanking all of the folks who tuned in last week to our premiere edition of 5 Minutes at the Frat House. I was overwhelmed. Hundreds and hundreds of listens. Hundreds of listens live, hundreds of listens thereafter the fact archived, and truly, I was just humbled and overwhelmed, and I appreciate that, and I certainly hope that we have many of you have come back after hearing it last week. We certainly want to see the audience continue to grow. If you're hearing this, however, for the very first time, and you're wondering what in the world is 5 Minutes at the Frat House all about? Well, 5 Minutes at the Frat House is actually a video sports wrap program that's been on the air now for 71 straight weeks. And in fact, momentarily, I will be bringing you the audio version of that, which just aired on Thursday. And it was the 71st episode of 5 Minutes at the Frat House. And I'll be bringing that to you. And, you know, for those of you that have never seen it, you can get to it by going over to YouTube. It's housed in two places. YouTube is one of them. Go over to YouTube, type in 5 Minutes at the Frat House. You will find all of our episodes there, dating all the way back to September of 2011 and coming forward. It's also housed as well over on our own website, which is frathousesports.net. So either place you can get to actually go and view the actual videos of these productions. Now, what I do here on Saturday afternoon, however, obviously we're not bringing you to the video. We're going to bring you the audio side only of those particular productions. And they translate quite well. However, I must say that in some cases, you really, really do miss a little bit of the visual effect of the production itself, and it really is worth going and taking a look at the actual videos. This week's in particular is one that I think, even if you sit with me here for the next hour or so, it might very well be one you would want to actually go and take a look at, because sometimes you miss some of the things, you miss some of the facial expressions, you miss some of the visual effects that we provide in the video side of the production. So I would thoroughly encourage you to go over to YouTube and as I said, type in 5 Minutes at the Frat House, or you can just type in the Frat House. You'll find our channel, our YouTube channel, and then I would encourage you to subscribe to it. That way you'll always be notified of new productions as they come out each and every week. The production that I'm going to be bringing you here today, and again, for some of you that have perhaps seen it before or you heard last week's, you know, make no mistake, we do script some of it. Some of it is scripted. Particularly my commentary frequently on the program is scripted. I have a script in front of me that I follow. I don't necessarily always read it, but I follow it. We do have a show outline that we follow as we go through the whole production. The best parts, however, and anybody who has done radio or these types of programs before, the best times and the best things that happen are those things that happen kind of spontaneously. And 5 Minutes at the Frat House is just rich with those types of experiences and events, this week in particular. As you're going to hear momentarily when Sidekick goes on a little rant of his own and calls me out, referring to me as a fraud. Completely unexpected, just a priceless bit of video and audio, but really it's one that is absolutely worth going and taking a look at. Once you hear this, you're going to want to actually go and see the actual video. What else do we cover in this week's program? Well, we take a look at the results from this past week's BCS Championship. And then last but not – well, not last, but right in the middle of the program, we have a visit from one of our, well, regular favorite guests. And this is another one that and make no mistake, I mean, sometimes on our program here, we do take time out for a little bit of fun. And one of the fun things that we have had is that occasionally we do get a visit from our own Andy Reid. Andy Reid, of course, the former head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, now the current head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, well, our own Andy Reid did pay us a visit during this week's show. You're going to hear that. But, again, that's one that you really got to see that one. And I would really, really encourage you to go over to YouTube and check out the actual video once you've heard this. Yes, this will be Andy's fourth visit with us in the past 71 weeks. All of those videos you can find up as shorts. They're all listed separately as short videos over at the Frat House channel on YouTube. And you can find all of those simply by going there. And so we get a visit from our own Andy Reid. And then finally, we close the show out by taking a look at this week's NFL divisional playoff matchups, the first of which will be kicking off in real time about an hour and a half or so, 4:30 this afternoon on Saturday, where we will have the Baltimore Ravens going out to Denver to play the Denver Broncos. And then later on this evening, we have Green Bay at San Francisco. The games will be finished up then tomorrow, Seattle at Atlanta, and Houston closing out the weekend at New England. And those are our divisional matchups that we have coming up for the weekend as we head into next week's divisional championships. So, as I did last week, if at any time you want to call in, because I will come back on when the after I've played the audio side of this. If you do want to call in, if there's something you heard perhaps that maybe you want to respond to, maybe you have a comment about, maybe you have a question about, maybe there's something we missed, I would, feel absolutely, please call 347-237-5373. During the playing of the video itself, however, I will not be taking calls. So if you call in during the actual audio rebroadcast of this week's production, you're going to be sitting on hold. But be patient. I'm going to get with you. I will get with you as soon as the production has concluded. And at any time, even thereafter the fact, if you want to call in and make a comment, give us a pat on the back, or just tell us, hey, are you kidding? Why have you guys been doing this for 71 weeks? But any comments at all, 347-237-5373. And with that, let me bring you this week's edition of 5 Minutes at the Frat House number 71.
Welcome back to a hockey-themed Love Me Some NHL edition of 5 Minutes at the Frat House. Not with Frat House Mike and Sidekick. And listen, we're going to get into all the latest from the NHL in just a few moments. But excuse me, but goodness, Sidekick, we've got such a crammed, packed program here tonight. We got we got college football, we got NFL playoffs, and even a special guest. We got a special guest coming.
Yep. Tweeting models.
Tweeting models, yeah, exactly. We got models on the, listen, we don't want to waste a single minute, and we need to get right into it right away. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start it off with the biggest college football game of the entire season that was played on Monday evening between number one Notre Dame and number two Alabama. And in the end, it wasn't even a game. Yeah, it wasn't even a game. In fact, it was 28-0 in favor of the Crimson Tide by halftime as they roll tided their way over the Irish 42-14. Alabama's junior QB, A.J. McCarron, he was quite good, actually, and very effective, going 20 of 28 for 264 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. But I got to tell you, Psychic, you called it last week. When you said that if Notre Dame were able to hold Bama's two big running backs to under 100 yards, that maybe, just maybe, but no, that didn't happen. You predicted it. As it turned out, Bama running back Eddie Lacy had 140 yards, while T.J. Yeldon got another 108. And what happened to the acclaimed Irish defense? Let's get straight. They were just simply overmatched, including heralded Heisman candidate Manti Te'o, who, as the game proved, went on. I'm going to tell you, I was sitting back there watching the game, and I could just hear his stock tumbling in the NFL for draft day. Yep. And so for the second time in a row and the third time in four seasons, Nick Saban secures himself a national championship for Alabama and now starts to position himself. I mean, because there's a very real possibility. Make no mistake. He could do it again next year. And at that point right then, he's now positioning himself up there with somebody like Bear Bryant. Can you imagine?
Yep. All the word I heard, you know, Monday and, you know, this week after the win is dynasty.
Yeah, well, 3-4, we would call it that in baseball.
Yep.
You'd have to say that for college football. So from all of us here, and this is a little deja vu all over again, I kind of almost just thought to pull last year's tape. Congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide on this year's BCS championship.
Well, I'm psychic, you know.
Oh, that, well, I don't know. But, except if unless I call it for next year, which I think is a possibility. So, in that case, maybe I am. Hey, let's go take a look at the BCS championship kind of leads us into our frat house Facebook post of the week. We're going to take a look at that right now. And it was most viewed and commented post this week, and, well, why shouldn't it be, was the pic and the post that I put up. Actually, it was during the second quarter of Monday evening's BCS championship game. And the picture I put up was of Alabama's junior quarterback, A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, as we all, everyone in the audience, found all about, thanks to Brent Musburger and his wandering eye, Catherine Webb. And holy smokes, Psychic, this post is probably one of the most viewed posts that we have ever had up on the frat house stage. It's not the biggest, but it's got to be close. It's got to be in the top three, probably.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I really wonder. So keep those posts coming, all right, folks? Keep them coming. And, well, every once in a while, we'll surprise you with one like that. Not too often, but every once in a while when they come up.
Wings in a strip club, buddy.
But that's what they said. Or at least that's what was offered. All right. Well, let's get into our hockey flavor for this particular show. Yes, we do have NHL news. After months of squabbling and bickering, it was announced last weekend that, well, in fact, we finally do have an agreement between the NHL and NHLPA, and we're going to have an NHL hockey season. The season, obviously, has been shortened. As was the NBA season last year, it's been shortened from a normal 82-game schedule to 48. And in fact, I believe that the NBA came in last year with a 46 game. So this is actually two games more, I believe, than the NBA had. And yet they're going to try to play it in a shorter period of time. Now, I don't know how that's going to go, but I guess we just have to wait and see what the schedules are. Training camps are scheduled to open this Saturday, and the first official games of the season are scheduled to hit the ice 1 week later on Saturday, January 19th. So I got to ask you, Sidekick, you've made the comment here before, as we've talked about this numerous times over the past number of months, that you would have preferred that they had just canceled the entire season. But now it hasn't. It hasn't been canceled. I guess my first question would be, and I got a series of them, will you be watching? Will you be rooting for your Blues? And let's get straight. The Blues had a pretty good season last year. They,
yep.
You know, so, I mean, there's something to be rooting for there if they come back with basically the same team. And how would you feel if your Blues won the Stanley Cup this year?
No, I won't be watching. No, I won't be rooting. And I don't care if they win.
Okay.
That's...
There you have it.
Answer your question.
Well, your head ain't made of straw, you know.
There you go. I mean, so, I guess that's the...
Now, having said that, though...
Yes?
Now it's my turn
go ahead.
For the veins to come out, my face to get red, and for me to have my rant.
You seem upset.
Just a little bit. All right. So the lockout's over now. Now it's time for the fans to lock out the NHL. Everybody was doing all their whining, complaining, you know, moaning. Oh, we're not coming back. We're not coming back. It's going to be years before anybody comes back to the game. Well, folks, now we've got a season, and now everybody's back on the bandwagon. So I want everybody to stop a minute and remember what they were saying a few weeks ago about not ever coming back and all that stuff, and don't come back. Don't watch the games. Don't go to the games. Don't buy their apparel. Don't support the league until next year. Let this year be gone. Hit them with the viewership ratings going down because people aren't going to watch. Don't buy their merchandise and let them have their slump rest of the year. And then next season, come back full force as an NHL fan if you want to.
Okay.
But don't buy into this. There's a season now. We're hockey fans.
Should I take my jersey off?
Yeah, because we said it pre-show. I said, oh, look, the sellout's here. You know, mister, I'm burning flyer badges and all patches and all that good stuff. And the 2 days after they announce it, he's back in, Flyers mug, Flyers jersey on. It's hockey. I can't wait.
Oh, you know,
a word comes to mind here. A word comes to mind here. I think it's fraud.
Oh, I got to tell you, folks, I was waiting for this. And in fact, I got to tell you, I adorned the set and my wardrobe this evening on purpose, just to get a rise, all right? I did it on purpose. Seriously. Look, make no mistake, yes, I'm very, very upset. And in fact, just the other day on Fan Junkies Radio, I made the comment to my co-host, Jonathan. I said, all right, whoop-de-doo, the season's back. Ho-hum, who cares? All right? And that's basically the way I really do feel. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I do not want the Flyers to win. And I'm here to tell you right now, I don't want the Flyers to win a Stanley Cup. I want them to do it in the full regular season. But we have to cover it. All right? That's our responsibility. That's our job. If the sport comes back, then we have to cover it. And so, therefore, I am here to tell you that 5 minutes of the Frat House will be covering the NHL as the season kicks up on January 19th. And these are my symbols of indicating, yes, we will cover it. I don't think Psychic's going to be watching. He's going to be leaning on me to do it. But that's okay. We'll do it anyhow.
I'll be kicking and screaming the whole way.
Only right here. Only right here. And listen, evidence right there. This is live, folks. We don't plan this. All right. Let's go over and take a look at something that won't perhaps maybe cause as much turmoil, and that's the NFL. Because we're in round two of the playoffs. But before we get into the games for this week, listen, we talked a bit last week, Psychic, about the abnormally high fallout from all of the things that occurred on NFL's Black Monday. Yet one of the affected head coaches, Andy Reid, of all people formerly of the Eagles, he only needed himself 4 days to land himself another position. And listen, Andy was kind enough to join me earlier right here on the set this evening to talk about his new position as the head coach now of the Kansas City Chiefs. And but he was here, and we're going to bring you that video right now.
All righty,
we're quite pleased to have back with us again as we've had so many times before, our own Andy Reid. Except this time, as you can all see, wearing different colors, as it was just announced on Monday that, in fact, Coach Andy Reid had now taken over as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And we appreciate you being here again with us, Andy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Michael.
Now, listen, we talked a lot here at the Frat House, particularly last week, about the fallout and the enormous fallout there was from Black Monday last week. In fact, 7 head coaches, obviously including yourself, were relieved of their duties. However, you, within 4 days, were able to turn it around and get yourself a new position. In fact, you're the only one of all of those 7 that have been able to do it and do it as quickly as you did. And I got to tell you, that's pretty impressive. And I got to ask, how did that happen?
Well, Mike, you know, I'm humble. You know, it's you got to be humble in these kind of things. You know, it was a good run in Philly, and you know, it didn't work out the way we wanted. You know, that's on me as coach. So now we're looking at Kansas City now, and you know, I've got some familiarity with Kansas City. I used to recruit for the University of Missouri from Columbia in Kansas City. So, you know, it's a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Well, now listen, it's obvious that they've welcomed you with open arms because you've been on quite the welcome wagon here. You know, over in Kansas City, front page headlines were screaming "Hail to the Chief!" T-shirts were showing up in stores. Reid to lead. There was a lot of speculation prior to the KC announcement that perhaps maybe you might have ended up in Arizona, you could have gone to San Diego. But you never actually even met with either one of them. In fact, you canceled both those interviews. Now, I got a twofold question for you here. As you went through that process, first of all, why did you only meet with KC? How come not the other two? Wouldn't you just want to go and listen to what everybody else had to say? And then the second question I have, I guess, for you, it really regards the Philadelphia fan base, who many of them felt kind of jilted about the fact that, well, you never really addressed them before you left.
Well, Mike, have you ever been to Kansas City? Have you ever tried some of their ribs?
No, I guess I have.
You know, those ribs are to die for out there, uh-huh. Michael. And, you know, at, you know, 9 hours of eating ribs, and it was a done deal at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't need to go to Arizona or out to San Diego or, you know, just stay with the ribs in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. How about the fact that, you know, the Philadelphia fan base felt a little bit kind of left behind?
Well, you know, Mike, things happen so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
As you alluded to in your first question, 4 days, and hey, I'm a head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And, well, you know, so I really haven't had a chance to really address stuff with, you know, the fan base in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, off to, you know, fired Monday and then off to interviews and, you know.
And landed the job within 4 days. Absolutely amazing. Now, interestingly, Chiefs general manager Scott Pioli, he was part of the 9-hour interview that you just alluded to. And I'm assuming perhaps maybe he even picked up the check for all those ribs. And he was obviously part of the process in ultimately hiring. However, the very next day after it was announced that you were probably coming to KC, Scott Pioli is fired. Now, many have thought that the timing was kind of a bit odd. Can you address some of that?
Well, you know, that's a fragile position, man.
Uh-huh,
know?
Yeah.
And, well, you know, I'm not really going to get into all that. This isn't the time to get into that.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. Listen, Andy, you had 14 years in Philadelphia to win the big one. And obviously, your goal in KC, I mean, it'd be the goal of any new head coach, your goal in KC would be to do exactly that, win them the big one. Why do you think you're going to be able to do it there, but after 14 years in Philadelphia, you weren't able to get it done there?
Well, Mike, it's, you know, out Arrowhead, it's the kingdom. It's mm-hmm. red. I love red. I had red hair, Mike.
Yeah, right.
So, I think we can turn this around and, you know, we can get the big one and then we can go have some ribs afterwards.
Absolutely. Well, listen, from all of us here at the Frat House, we appreciate all of the appearances you've made on our program here over the past, almost year and a half. And you know, we wish you the best of luck there in Kansas City. All right?
Thanks, Mike. And when I win the big one, I'll come back on the show.
You got it. You got it. We look forward to it. Thanks so much. Hey, listen, and many, many thanks to our own Andy Reid. And we truly appreciated all the numerous appearances that he's made with us over the past almost nearly year and a half. And we're wishing him the best there in KC.
And maybe.
Let's go have a ham sandwich.
And maybe
we'll
see him back when he wins the big one there, huh?
We might go out to KC and have a ham sandwich.
There you go.
Who knows? Yeah,
or some ribs.
Just for old time's sake, huh?
I want my baby back, back ribs.
Okay, we've got round two of the NFL playoffs coming this Saturday. There were four teams that we're going to be talking about today that, we didn't talk about last week because they didn't play. They had the benefit of the bye. So let's take a look at the four games that everybody's going to be talking about for the next couple of days. And probably into early next week, and we're going to start it off with the first game on Saturday, and that's the Baltimore Ravens, who are now technically they're 11-7 after winning last week, and they're going to be traveling to the Denver Broncos, who are 13-3, and that's the 4:30 game on Saturday.
Yep.
The Ravens last week played last weekend against the what I call the resurgent in Indianapolis Colts. And make no mistake, behind that jacked defense that the Ravens put out there, led by Ray Lewis, and his final game of his career in Baltimore, well, they beat Andrew Luck and the Colts 24-9. Flacco, he was Flacco, all right? 12 of 23, 282 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Good, okay? He was good. Really, when it comes right down to it, Anquan Boldin. My gosh, he was the fantasy receiver of the week, collecting up 145 yards in the air and a touchdown. But really, in my opinion, it was the Ravens' defense that was the game. They hit Andrew Luck 10 times, sacked him 3 times. It seems to me that if there's a key to this coming week's game, it's got to be that defense again going into Denver if they hope to advance. Now, over on the other side of the story, it's been the surprise of the entire NFL season, and that's Peyton Manning and his resurgence, as we mentioned that word. And perhaps maybe he'll benefit from that week off, you know, having the bye, as he's in his comeback year, ranked number 2 quarterback in the entire league during the course of the season. Now, that's why I mentioned the Ravens defense. Manning, make no mistake, he can be sacked, he can be knocked around. And we've seen him put on the ground now 21 times this season. If the Ravens defense can make him jittery and nervous, and he can be hearing footsteps, then I think the Ravens might have a chance of pulling an upset. All right? Now, I said upset because, look, the Broncos are a 9-point favorite in this game. Is this Ray Lewis's final game of his career? What do you think?
I kind of think so. Mm-hmm. Just a little stats throw at you here. Denver, including Denver, 9 teams since 1970 have entered the playoffs with an active win streak of at least 10 games. Of the 8 previous teams, 4 have made the Super Bowl, and 3 have won the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
The 73 Dolphins, the 03 Patriots, and the 76 Raiders.
Wow.
I'm going with the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going with the Broncos as well. They're going to cover the spread?
Yeah, I think
9 points? All right.
They're in Mile High. Flacco?
Yeah, it seems a little high against that defense. I'm telling you, if that defense comes out as jacked as they were last week, of course, they won't be in Baltimore. But 9 points might be a little bit high, but hey, take the Broncos. That's where I'm going. All right, let's go over and take a look at Game 2 on Saturday, and that's the Green Bay Packers, who are now technically 12-5, and they are going into San Francisco 49ers, who are 11-4-1, and that's the 8 o'clock game on Saturday.
the Minnesota Vikings they weren't even competition, really, when it comes right down to it, against the Green Bay Packers last Saturday. As Aaron Rodgers and company, well, they ended the Vikings' Cinderella dream 24-10. Rodgers, he was 23-33, 274 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, 104.9 QB rating. You know, I've mentioned this numerous times in previous weeks. There's just too many weapons on that Packers team when you take a look at it for Rodgers. Too many. Jennings, Harris, Jones, Finley, Nelson. All right. They even had a ground game going in last week's game against the Vikings. They had 76 yards on the ground. The 49ers had a week off last week, and they're back in action after going 3-2 in their last five of the regular season. And in a couple of those, backup quarterback, I guess now starter, Colin Kaepernick, sorry, I just don't think he was very good. And still, to this moment, I'm sitting here shaking my head. I just don't know what the thinking is behind benching Alex Smith. Nonetheless, with all of that, the 49ers are a three-point favorite over a team that many still are saying they think might be possibly the best in the NFC. What do you think on this one?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Three of the four divisional games are rematches of regular season games. Denver's played Baltimore already, Houston's played New England already, and Green Bay's played San Francisco already.
Mm-hmm.
Now, non-divisional opponents have played 155 playoff matches during regular season with the, or I'm sorry, rematches of regular season games. And the winner of the regular season game has an advantage of 87-68 in the playoff games. So,
okay.
I'm going to buck that trend, and I'm going to say Green Bay wins this one.
Okay.
Against the 49ers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm taking Green Bay on this as well. I'm going to go to my basics, and the basics are quarterback. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I think they're going to pay for it in the end. You got Rodgers coming in who's got experience in the playoffs. It's a no-brainer, in my opinion.
And he's got it. He's got the weapons back. So.
Yep, yep. All right, let's go take a look at the first game on Sunday. And that's the Seattle Seahawks, who are now technically 12-5 after winning last week. And they were going to be going to the Atlanta Falcons, who are 13-3. That's the 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Seattle beat them. We're going to talk a little bit about this game. But we're going to get into a couple of things real quick on this one. Seattle beat the Washington Redskins last Sunday in the most pre-game and post-game talked about a game of the entire weekend, 24-14. I made the comment earlier on Fan Junkies Radio, I guess it might have been yesterday, Sidekick, three rookie QBs that have been talked about a lot this year in the league. Andrew Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson. Which one's still in the playoffs? Russell Wilson. Wilson last week was 15 of 26, 187 yards and one touchdown. Big story, though, for Seattle had to be running back Marshawn Lynch, who went 132 yards on the ground with a touchdown. But I got to ask real quick, I'm going to just split it right here in the middle. What about that decision to keep RG3 in the game? Sidekick, he's already undergone surgery now for a torn LCL. It's looking like 6 to 8 months of rehab. Yeah, hopefully he's going to be back in time for the beginning of next season. But really, was that wise?
Well, he had, I'm going to mess it up because I suck with medical terms, I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had, one was the one ligament, but the previous injury from 2009, the doctor reconstructed that ligament again.
Mm-hmm.
Reading some articles today, they were talking 9 to 12 months or longer for him to be out.
Boy.
Now, his doctor issued a statement and said that RG3 will be ready for next season.
Okay, but what about the decision to leave him in that game?
Well,
when you've got Kirk Cousins on the bench who had indicated, had shown before that he was capable, was that really wise? It was so obvious he was hobbled.
And I agree with you. My issue with it is, would I have pulled him out? I probably would have pulled him out and put Cousins in.
Yeah.
And that. But knowing how competitive some of these players are.
Sure.
I'm sure RG3 was on the sideline telling Shanahan, leave me in. I want, you know, and I think, you know, if anything, looking at it in hindsight, I think maybe Shanahan, should have been, as the term I've heard today, an adult about it.
Well, that's where the coaches, I think, have to come
and,
in. Right.
And said, look, we don't want to hurt you anymore.
Right.
Let's put Cousins in.
Concept. I mean, that's really what you got to be looking at, the future of the team.
This morning they were talking about he possibly would not play at all next year. He'd be off a year and then come back.
That's going to set the entire program.
You know, and I kind of likened it to the other DC team, the Nationals, when Strasburg came in.
Yeah.
Strasburg came in half a season. By the end of the season, was blown out, missed the whole next season.
And a lot of talk there about the
Tommy
fact
John.
That, yeah, a lot of talk there about the fact that they had just brought him up way too soon. So, all right. Well, it's going back and forth, and a lot of people have talked about it. So, many opinions on it. All right, let's take a look at the Seattle Seahawks, let's take a look at the Atlanta Falcons, rather, who the Seahawks are going to be playing. The Falcons seem to be everybody's favorite team, ranked number 5 QB. In the league with Matty Ice there, all right? Now, we've implied all season long, sidekick, that this Falcons team seems to be a bit overrated. After a week off with the bye, I'm wondering whether some others are thinking perhaps maybe they're overrated as well. Since, in fact, Seattle is coming in as only a 2.5-point underdog, Atlanta's favored by only 2.5 points at home. What do you think on this one? I mean, it's only a 2.5-point favorite for Atlanta.
Well, this is going to be my bomb pick of the week because I got a feeling that Falcons are going to get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stat, because I collected a couple interesting stats for this week's show. Ever since Mike Smith has become the Falcons head coach, the Falcons have made the playoffs 3 times. They've lost the first game all 3 times. The Cardinals in 08, the Packers in 10, and the Giants last year. By the way, those 3 teams have gone on to play in the Super Bowl.
Wow. Ooh.
So, and, you know, I saw a post by Uncle Mark this week about Russell Wilson. I've been saying now, this is second or third week, I think Russell Wilson is Rookie of the Year.
Mm.
Serious contender.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I go there, I'll be honest with you. And I don't think that they're looking at postseason numbers in Rookie of the Year. Would that be accurate? I don't think they do. So I think you only have to look at season numbers. But, all right. I'm going with Seattle on this game as well. I've been on the Seattle bandwagon for some time.
They've got the hot hand right now, and the Falcons have been cooling.
Yep.
So
All right.
They're right for an upset.
Let's go take a look at the finale of the round 2 weekend, and that's the Houston Texans, who are technically now 13-4, who are going into New England to play the Patriots, who were 12-4 during the season. That's the 4:30 game on Sunday. We talked a lot about Houston over the past 5 weeks, sidekick. And look there, yes, hey, how about it? They did advance by beating the Cincinnati Bengals last week. Overwhelmingly 19-13.
That was the most boring game of the
week. You are not kidding. Let's break this down even further. Hey, how about 13?
Do we have to?
I'm going to make it real simple. 13 of those 19 points were on the foot of Shane Graham, who had, count them, four field goals. Okay? This was not a compelling victory by the Texans. Even with Arian Foster having himself a pretty good day with 140 yards and a touchdown. This team, they're going into New England, and they're playing the number 2 seed with Brady and company over there. We've not been impressed with them. They're not looking like a hot team. Pats are a 9.5-point favorite in this game. Are we napping at halftime?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be posting more bikini pics. Maybe if Giselle...
That's your department.
So, but now, Bill Belichick is tied third with Joe Gibbs for most postseason wins with 17 wins.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes it to the Super Bowl, he will tie Don Shula If he wins the Super Bowl, he will tie Tom Landry for most postseason wins by an NFL coach.
Wow.
How about that?
He's done it. He's been kind of quiet about it. I mean, not that Belichick himself is quiet, but that's kind of happened kind of quietly. All right. New England, right there. Take it. All right. There's our picks for the week. All right. All right. Let's run around here real quick, as we usually do. Don't forget Fan Junkies. Good time of year to be jumping over there. It's playoff time. Jump in there. And like I've said many, many times, you're going to meet people from all over the country, all different sports and what have you. Fan Junkies Radio is going strong and getting stronger, my goodness. We have had some terrific guests on. We had guests on Monday. We had a guest on today. And we've got guests on, I think, just about all through next week. And we just keep lining more and more up. And it is not unusual to have tens of thousands of listens per show. So get over there on Blog Talk Radio and check that out. This show right now, 5 Minutes with Frat House, is now being rebroadcast in two places. Herb FM Sports, www.herbfm.com. All right. You got to check their schedule to see when we come up, but it's being broadcast there. And I am doing the rebroadcast for a full hour with your input. If you want to listen to it live, you can call into me. But I rebroadcast it over on Fan Junkies Radio. So we're being broadcast on Saturdays on Fan Junkies Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, last but not least, Frat House Sports. Always looking for new writers. I could use a couple of new ones just for the beginning of the new year just to help me out, because things just getting busier and busier and busier all the time. All right? All right, there you have it. That was one packed program, huh? I think we got it all. Those are a couple of things we didn't cover, but we'll get to those next week. Next week, yes, right. Next week, round three. We'll be talking round three of the NFL playoffs, so you're going to want to be right here with us for that one. And you got one more thing you got to do for us consistently all through this week, and that is you got to keep us real, you got to keep us live, and you got to keep us going, and we're going to see you next week. See you then.
First of all, I love the Chiefs Kingdom, man. I love that term, huh? See a red, the Chiefs Kingdom. Doggone, man. Oh, that's exciting. They broke out the tie. If you get a close up on that tie, it's a Chiefs tie, huh? I'm liking that.
I'm liking that.
I'm liking that. So I used to have red hair. I'm kind of into the red. I'm into red, but I appreciate them, the fans of the Kansas City Chiefs. That was one of the drawing factors for me coming here. Was this stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, when it's packed and rocking, there's nothing like it, man, in this league. And so it's my job to make sure that I get the right people in here to do the right job, and that's to win football games for them, and that's I'm going to do my best to do that.
Let's do this.
All right, Mitch. Fire up, baby.
Andy Reid, the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and yes, it is time to get excited. When we come back, Kendall Gammon, the long snapper. We'll check in on what this day means as we move forward. We'll be back after this on KC Chiefs Talk.
All righty, there you got it. Wow. We had, quite a bit going on in that particular program. And there's a couple of things, that I just want to point out. As I listen to it in an audio version, I even recognize that there's a lot that you can miss by not actually seeing the production. As I heard it, there are some very amusing parts. Particularly the Andy Reid interview, our own Andy Reid, that is one that really visually you must get the full effect. And to get that, you need to go over to YouTube, type in 5 minutes at the Frat House or 5 minutes at the Frat House. Number 71, and you'll get it directly, and then you can have a chance to take a look at that. The other thing that I failed to mention on the front end of the program today that I made notes of here as I listened to the audio side, we do have a Facebook page, and we would encourage you to go over and jump on that as well. If you're on Facebook, go over to the Frat House -Eagleville. You'll find it. And like that page. Once you do, you're going to get. And here, seriously, folks, what we do is we update that every single day. with breaking news, stories that are coming out, national things that are happening, and you'll get updates on all kinds of things. Listen, we cut out the crap. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of junk out there in the media. There's a lot of stuff out there, you know, stories that really aren't stories. We cut those out, and we put the stuff in there that is important to all of us, things that we really, really want to know about. Excuse me. And it's nationally geared. I mean, look, I bring my Philadelphia slant. I know that, and I said that last week. I bring my Philadelphia slant. Sidekick brings a St. Louis slant. Everybody's got their own slant, and I don't care who you are in sports talk or sports talk radio or sports talk television. It makes no difference. Anybody that tells you that they don't, they're liars. That's the bottom line. We all have our slant. It's just in the way that we present it, and it's just in the way that we're able to cut through some of it and try to bring it as balanced and as unbiased as possible. And we do that very, very successfully over at the Frat House Eagleville Facebook page, and also over on the Frat House Sports. Excuse me. One of the things you may have heard in there, you heard Sidekick rail off on me, and he did his own rant today. Excuse me, he did his own rant at me with regard to the NHL, and I had done a couple of rants over the past couple of months. And what I want to do real quick is I want to bring you a rant that I did way back in October. It was done on October 25th. It's very short. It's about 4 minutes long. I'm going to bring you that rant here real quick. This is another audio version of one of our programs, our 5 Minutes at the Frat House programs. This comes from 5 Minutes at the Frat House number 60. And this was done, as I said, on October 25th. And it kind of gives you a little bit of a flavor as to why, I guess maybe Sidekick was a little bit perturbed at me when I came in wearing my Flyers uniform, my Flyers jersey, just the other evening. And so let me bring you that one here real quick. It's only about 4 minutes long, so hang with it. Hey, how about this one? Let's go talk, let's go take a look a little bit of NHL hockey action. Well, you know something? I wish we could. We haven't brought up the NHL in like the past 5 weeks since we announced the commencement of the lockout on September 15th. And so as of today, today is the date that the NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman had declared as the drop-dead date before we begin losing games for the coming season. Let's see what's happening over there in the NHL.
What's the problem now?
Well, let me tell you what's happening, folks. Both the NHL owners and Gary Bettman, and you couple that in with Don Fehr and the NHLPA, you know what they're doing? They're holding the entire fan base up for hostage for the third time in 21 years. Three times now since the end of August, the NHL and NHLPA have exchanged proposals and counterproposals. They've pointed fingers at each other. They've made contingency plans. They've postured and they've poured more rhetoric on us than the two presidential candidates together. In the end, this is about the NHLPA right now coming off of the current CBA profit-sharing structure that is heavily weighted, let's get this one straight, in the players' favor, 57% to 43%. The owners claim that the league and the teams are losing money with that current structure. Bettman and the owners have indicated what they would prefer is something more like a 50-50, a la the NFL and the NBA. Now, as a novice outsider looking in fan on this whole situation, that seems somewhat reasonable enough to me. So why can't we get movement towards a negotiated settlement? Well, mostly because all of the parties at this particular moment have arranged their golden parachutes. Major stars have all evacuated to other leagues. They've set themselves up with AHL teams. The Continental League out of Russia, or European leagues, they're safe. They're playing. They're getting paid. Well, probably not as much as they would be if they were in the NHL, but let's get it straight. They ain't hurting. Over on the other side, the owners aren't making any money, but they aren't losing any either.
Last week in a radio interview that we did with former St. Louis Blues and Colorado Avalanche player and now current Columbus Blue Jackets assistant coach Dan Hynote, he reported about the last lockout that occurred when he was a player. In that interview, he stated outright, quote, "As a hockey player, when you go overseas and play, that's where your head's at. You're aware and you're concerned because you want to play in the NHL. But hockey players are built to be committed to whatever they're doing. I know from my standpoint as a player, as soon as I put on that Sweden jersey, I wanted to win a championship there." Wow, that speaks volumes. There's no urgency here, folks, to get this thing resolved. The players are all safely tucked away in other leagues. They're doing what they're built to do. This isn't even a matter any longer of one side waiting for the other to blink. There's nobody looking at each other. So at this point, neither side is feeling the pitch. The only side that is the silent side, the unrepresented side, the fans. I've heard comments made by some of the owners over the past that, look, when we get back, the fans will come back. Well, listen up, NHL. You're not the NFL. You're not Major League Baseball. You're not even the NBA. And to have such a cavalier attitude about the people that pay the players' salaries, keep your arenas going, and line your pockets with the merchandise that we purchase is not only borders on immoral, it's damn near close to being criminal. And I wouldn't be so quick to think that we're going to be coming back anytime soon. There's my commentary for tonight. Tune in next week when you see what Mike says.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Alrighty, so there you have that. So therefore, I think everybody now understands why perhaps maybe Sidekick was a bit perturbed at me when I came in, you know, decking out in the Flyers orange and black. We got about 8 minutes left, and if you've got any comments on anything you've heard up to this point, 347-237-5373 is the number to call in, and I do have one. On hold that I do want to bring in right now. I do believe I know who this is, and so therefore let me get them in here right now. We have Mark on the line, I believe. Is that Mark?
Yeah. How you doing there, brother?
All right, man. What are you thinking?
Well, here's what it is. I loved Dave's rant. Sidekick put it right there, spot on. And great juxtaposition you brought in yourself from your rant from weeks ago. And here's my question to you, the only one you didn't answer on the most recent 5 minutes at the Frat House, and it was a question you posed to Dave, and I'm going to couch this in terms of your rant from October, when you said, these guys aren't playing any games because they're not even looking at each other. It's not about see who blinks first. They're not even looking except the fans. Going to that point that Dave made so well, isn't it time for us as fans to not look at them? So here's my question to you. You're going to follow the game because you're going to report about it, and you don't want your Flyers to win. You made it clear. Will you be rooting as a fan anyway?
Ah, boy. All right. So you put my feet to the fire.
Tough call. Real tough call, because I'll tell you where I come down on it. But I wanted to hear your take.
Well, listen, you know me. You've known me for years and years and years. How could I possibly sit and watch a Flyers game, or any game for that matter, and not necessarily have a rooting interest one way or another? I always find myself, it doesn't matter what the sport is, I always find myself picking one side or another, even if it's between two dog teams. So, will I root? Okay, yes, I will root at the time that the event is occurring. But I think that what you have to do is you have to kind of judge what's the whole concept of rooting. And I put the, you know, in quotation marks, rooting. I'm not going to root to the extent that I'm going to be running out and buying apparel. I agree with Sidekick on that. I'm not going to be running out and doing that. I'm not necessarily going to run out and buy tickets, even if they're offered to me at a discounted price. But I will sit and watch a game, and as you watch the game, I would root, yes.
Okay. I hear you. I hear you. You're going to watch it simply as a sporting contest then.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That being said, I'm a big NHL fan. I mean, I've tons of cards and collectibles. I've done this, you know, my entire childhood through young adulthood. Now I'm an older adulthood. But even still, I am not going to follow the NHL. I will look for sarcastic, horrible memes that I can send over and post up on my Facebook page. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm right there with Sidekick. Here's how it is. I've closed the door. This season does not count. It's a fraud. It's absolutely a fraud. We all remember when the Devils, and I'm up here in Devils territory, won a cup after a strike-shortened season. Everybody sat back and said, boy, that really shouldn't count. They did that in how many shorter games then? It's even this is even a shorter season, I believe, than that year was.
Yep.
Whoever wins, this is an asterisk. I'm sorry. We should just close the page, let everybody vent, get over it. I'm with Sidekick on this. Spot on. That's what we should do. Fold up our tent, take all the carnival, all the nonsense, all the fireworks, put them away, bring them out next year in September, and now let's talk about, hey, you know what we're going to do? I got a novel idea. Let's play hockey. And have a whole year. All right. That's my take. I love the rant. I love the show. Andy Reid, we got to get him back. Got to get him back.
Well, hopefully he does something over. Yeah, hopefully he does something over in KC, and then we will have a reason to bring Andy back on the show.
Absolutely, right. Because I'll tell you what, he was finger looking good. Love those KFC chefs he's got. Okay, brother. All right, I'll talk to you, man. Ciao.
You take care. All righty. There you have it. All right. So that's our show for the most part for this week. Let me run around and throw a couple of shout outs since I only have a couple of minutes left here. First of all, hopefully many of you have jumped onto this because you've become familiar with Fan Junkies Radio. Jonathan Regis and I broadcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here on Fan Junkies Radio, usually at about 12 noon to 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time. Sometimes it gets pushed back a little bit if we have a guest. Perhaps maybe we have to accommodate their schedule. But for the most part, we are here at 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I got to say, I got to point this out. We have had some incredible shows since the beginning of this year, just since the beginning of this year. Tens and tens and tens and thousands of listens we have gotten on that particular show. We started out the new year with Adam Graves of the New York Rangers. That got tens of thousands of listens. Just this past week, we had Nate Bellamy on, who is a movie producer who is working on a new program, a new movie right now regarding the New York Renaissance, which is an old all-black basketball team. We had Chris Lopresti on from the from New York radio station WFAN, who is now the beat reporter for the New York Jets. And then yesterday we had on Dion Lee, the commissioner of the newly forming Women's Indoor Football League. We have guests lined up as well for this coming week, so you need to be checking that out this week as well. We have we don't want to announce all of them because some of them we're still talking to, but we've got a lot of guests lined up as we continue to go through the 2013 year. I'm going to ask you please to mark it down on your calendar. I will be back here with you next Saturday at 3 o'clock, just as I have been for the past couple of weeks. And I will be bringing you 5 Minutes at the Frat House, number 72. And if you want to check those out, go over to YouTube. Type in 5 Minutes at the Frat House. You can find it. Join us over on Facebook, The Frat House, -Eagleville. You can find us there and like that page, and you'll get in touch with all of us there. Also, Frat House Sports.net and also fanjunkies.net, social media. One more thing I'm going to ask you to do for me. You got to keep us real, you got to keep us live, and you got to keep us going. And I'll see you here next week.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.